This is By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Good evening, everybody. And yes, I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over Heritage Broadcasting System and coming to you usually through the web or the C-band satellites and in some areas to our Paul Revere's of today, the FM rebroadcasters. To each and every single one of you, we hope and pray Yahweh blesses and keeps you. We first and foremost dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, the glory, and the honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring his truth to his holy, which means separated, remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob, Israel, a people also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. This is a two-seed line, Racial Covenant Identity Ministry, and we teach those truths to all those who will listen. We do not claim to know everything. We are in a constant search for truth today. For surely there is a famine for the truth in this land, as most people can tell. We would like to encourage all you folks to support Heritage Broadcasting System through their brave efforts. We're able to reach out to you, and we suggest you support them both with your prayers and letters of encouragement, and would be prayerfully considering sending them a small donation to help in this effort. The title for tonight's program is Jewish Fables, and this is April 28th, year of our Savior, year 2000, and I will have a guest who will be on here with us very shortly. In the meantime, Charisse has a poem to read for us.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. The title of this poem this evening is Once Proud and Free. America, once proud and free, we must go down on bended knee. Break the chains of iron which Babylon has forged. No longer are we brain-dead sheep on which they have gorged. Come out, America, from Babylon. Let it fall and die. For the dawning of a brand new day does in our future lie. America, once proud and free, we must go down on bended knee and pray. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Very good. Thank you very much. Also, we want to put in a plug here for Judy of Salt Box Herbs. Dr. Judy is probably got one of the biggest hearts of any person I've ever met, and her concern is for our people and getting them healthy again. And for you that can't figure out why we need to be healthy, shame on you. Her phone number is area code 724-639-9607. If you think you're going to go through with coming down the pike at us, starting out unhealthy and making it through to the end, you're kidding yourself. I got a few verses to read here, and then we'll get to my guest. We're going to go to the second book of Timothy in chapter 4 and read verses 2 through 4. Preach the word. Be ready to take your positions in season or out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they will heap to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears, telling them what they want to hear, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned to fables. Interesting. Turn to fables. Next, we want to go to Titus chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 10, go through 16 here quickly. For there are many unruly men, foolish talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert or overturn and destroy whole houses of Yahweh, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of filthy lucre, that's money. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. I testify this was said therefore, rebuke them sharply in order that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to fables of the Jews and commandments of men which turn from the truth. To the clean all things are clean, but to the defiled and unfaithful nothing is clean. For even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, but by their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and to every righteous work reprobate. That's our chosen people. At least by their own accord, they are chosen. My guest tonight is Mr. Richard Masker, who is the National Director of the International Conspiratological Association, and he is a conspiratologist, police consultant, public lecturer, and political deprogrammer. Richard, are you on yet?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. I just got the letter that you sent to Professor Ward. That was quite interesting.
His book is quite interesting, I might add. It's a very favorite subject of mine. Astronomy has been my hobby for many years, so. But I thought that the email folks out there might enjoy that.
Uh-huh. And you didn't mention in the email, at least I didn't pick it up, where they could get that book. It's called Rare Earth.
Rare Earth. It's available from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. It's you can order it.
Oh, okay. It's not so politically incorrect that it's hard to get then.
Well, it has nothing to do with politics. It's strictly a science book. But I'm notifying him that I've made a discovery on mass extinctions that he probably doesn't know about right now.
Ah, okay.
So it's nothing to do with conspiratology in the larger sense.
All righty. And, well, we'll start off by asking, what is conspiratology?
Well, conspiratology is basically the scientific research of the most enormous crimes known to humanity. I think most people probably are aware of the word criminologist or in criminology. This is very well known in law enforcement fields. A criminologist is a person who studies crime. Well, a conspiratologist is a person who studies the highest form of crime known. And that gets us right into the conspiracy subject that we're here to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important today?
Why is that important?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that every aspect of our lives virtually is controlled by the system. And we need to understand that if we're going to be able to liberate ourselves from what has happened to us in the past. We are an enslaved people, all of white Western civilization specifically, and unless we get on the stick and get with the program and begin to awaken our fellow man, we are going to be in serious trouble very quickly.
Well, I would certainly agree with that. And how long has your organization been around? I mean, I've read some of your stuff for a few months now, but I hadn't heard of it before then.
Well, we have been around since 1981.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I started it in Corvallis, Oregon in 1981 when I finally discovered what was really going on. And I might add, we do not have any members. We have associates, but we have nothing of a record. So people who want to become a conspiratologist and learn what's happening and be able to become political deprogrammers and police consultants, they can start their own organization right in their hometown and bring some of the local folks in and start from there.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting, yeah.
It is. It's a very rewarding and it's a very good program to get into.
One of the questions I have here is it dangerous to be a conspiratologist?
Well, you have to learn how to deal with the system and how to get by. Our biggest threat, of course, is the organizations like the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. We have to deal within the law completely. We are not a terrorist organization. And this is why I specify most of my activities to police consulting work. As you well know, most of you out there and the listening audience knows that when communism, which is strictly Jewish, took over Europe, the communists concentrated their efforts on taking control of local law enforcement. And once they got the local law and the police chief and the magistrates and the gendarmes under their control, then they could enforce a program of fear tactics that put the general population of the city or the community into line with what they wanted to accomplish. And so every time that we went to Europe to fight in the Second World War or whatever, we had to deal with the communists who were in power in the local communities. And so basically in this country, through political correctness and money, the business of handing out government subsidies to various law enforcement groups, the police have been programmed to serve the system. And so conspiratologists dedicate quite a bit of their time to becoming law enforcement consultants. And we very actively deprogram federal marshals, FBI agents, local sheriffs and county sheriffs and police chiefs and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very important labor that we perform.
I'd say that's pretty darn important from just my experience with some folks in what they call law enforcement. I prefer to call them as peace officers, because that's what I believe their tradition was supposed to be.
That's what they were intended to be.
Right. I see a major paradigm shift when our enemy got in there and started calling them law enforcement. To me, that was part of the brainwashing and the mental takeover of law enforcement by the enemy.
Well, you know, Dan, we used to have what was called the War Department, and now the War Department is called the Defense Department. Isn't that clever propaganda?
I didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. You had here to discuss the three most dangerous problems we face today, in your opinion. You want to go into that a little bit?
Well, I think as we continue with this discussion here, we're going to be able to pick and choose some of those things. I have a list of items that I'd like to bring into the conversation, and I think one of them deals with what we just covered,
okay, but
not in this specific nature. We talk about the international conspiracy, and that conspiracy is, from all conspiratological viewpoints, totally and completely Jewish. And, of course, the Jews have controlled our people to help them in accomplishing their objectives. But I want your listening audience to understand something very, very important here. This is one of the first items on the list, and that is that Jews' lives depend on their lies, and your life depends on truth. So the Jews, when your life depends on you spreading an evil or spreading a lie, you are going to be very, very good at it. And so we as white people, white Gentiles, and generally people of all ethnic groups other than Jews, when they want to tell the truth and spread the truth, they're going to have to realize that it's just as important for them to spread the truth as it is for the Jews to continue their big lie propaganda campaign. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense.
Most of us don't seem to realize the importance of what we're doing here, but it is extremely important.
Well, it's just like the scripture I read, that, you know, there would come a time when, unfortunately, many of our people seem to prefer the big lie because of the money involved or their fear of repercussions at work or with their friends, whatever.
Right.
But they're following, you know, in lockstep with the big lie and the Jews that push it, simply to get along, so to speak, and it's a shame. But, you know, the day is going to come when the Messiah is going to separate the tares from the wheat and the goats from the sheep. And the way I read it, at this latter period of time, there's not going to be any middle ground. There's not going to be this, I'll sit on the fence and see who wins, and then I'll jump down on the side of the winner.
That's right.
People had better make up their minds now who they will serve. As Joshua said, as far as my house and myself, we will serve Yahweh.
That's right.
And that is the truth. So people, you know, they just better figure out which side they're going to be on here real fast.
Well, I found that your opening scriptures were very apropos in the subject that we're talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring to the attention of your listening audience that conspiratology deprograms all people of all ethnic groups. The Jews love to call anyone who exposes them as racist and bigots and hate mongers and neo-Nazis and fascists and hate mongers and white anti-Semitic racist bigots, you know, the typical slander technique.
Right.
But we are not a racist organization in the sense that we are strictly white and we want to kill all non-whites. That's what the propaganda has our people to believe.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, to the international Zionist or Jewish community, there's only two kinds of people on the earth, Jews and their enemies, period. End of comment. Last of subject. Unless they understand that, they're never going to really get anywhere in this deprogramming process. So we deprogrammed, I have personally deprogrammed Tongans, Filipinos, mixed racial families from all over the world. I hold conferences and give lectures to people, especially racially mixed couples, so that they will understand the nature of the beast in regards to how they're being programmed to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the media, there's an enormous program of hate propaganda by the Zionists trying to get the white American sensitized against blacks by presenting some of the most vulgar and the ugliest and most profane blacks on TV that you can imagine. And while they're doing that, at the same time, they're also conditioning through gradualization a program whereby white men are made to look like total idiots and morons. I recently had a pretty heated discussion with Geico Direct, an insurance company that has over 13 commercials on television that run continually, and virtually every one of these shows some white characteristic man, the typical bald-headed, sweaty, stupid, moron, meat-headed jerk man, doing something insanely stupid on TV in a commercial. This is not by accident. These things are very, very well organized, but the general public does not understand that. So conspiratology is very, very exciting when you start to learn about propaganda and mind control technique.
Okay? Oh, yeah, it does sound fascinating. I can remember years ago telling people when the first advertising was hitting back in the 80s, very cleverly, I remember an article, or I should say an ad from, it was either like a Penny's or a Sears, and in the foreground was the item that was the subject of the ad, but in the background was the white woman and the black man getting ready
right.
to walk into the store together.
Right.
See? And I pointed that out to some people. I said, this is the beginning. This is only the beginning. You're
right.
being sensitized here to what they want. And it just got worse from that year on, you know.
Right.
But you're right. We are subjected to a unending barrage of what they want us to be and what they want us to think.
Well, you know, the one of the processes that they use, like I said, was gradualization. When I was a child, the word condom was never, ever used. The word sex was never used. The word homosexuality was never used. But I have seen over my lifetime how this has been used in the propaganda in a very assertive, gradualistic, very, you might want to call it affirmative action technique.
Yes.
And so they finally get your young people to talking and thinking in ways that they would have never known or done under conservative or historical social behavior. So the media, even in advertisements, you take a woman, she's here's a man, here's your stupid, simple, meat-headed, idiot, moron husband, and he's trying to get the sink unplugged. And he's got everything all over the place, and everything's wet and dirty, and the wife walks in her wonderful business outfit, and she says, well, honey, you should have used such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks up, and he's all scrungy looking, and he uses this, and the whole thing goes down, and she tells him exactly what to do, and he looks like an idiot, and that's, you see commercial after commercial like that, and that's all very well orchestrated and done.
Well, that's why I consider the scripture talks about the image of the beast, and all my research into that tells me that that is what the enemy uses to get through your eyes, because the eyes are the windows of your soul. And so they use everything that creates an image. So they've
That's
got
right.
all the video media. They've got all the movie entertainment section. They've got control of that. All the printed media. Every one of these creates an image because it's something you see with your eyes.
That's right.
And every single thing, and I'll tell you something, I don't watch television at all, period, and I watch very few movies because I've gotten to where, because I am aware, and praise Yahweh for that, he opened my eyes to who's Jew and who's who, I can see their propaganda, and it infuriates me to where I can't even enjoy watching a movie. And I've also had friends of mine call me angry with me because I've taught this technique to them, and now they can no longer enjoy movies either.
Sure.
Because it is insulting the attack against the people who have civilized the known world. And it's just amazing. I think you saw, I don't know if you've seen Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
As an example. Who's the savior in that? Who's the two astronauts?
Black.
A black and a Jew.
Right.
It's incredible. I mean, the
whole
movie.
You see, I have to take a little slightly different viewpoint than completely blacking out the media, because it's our viewpoint that a conspiratologist who's in training or trying to hone his techniques must be extremely aware of what's going on. So we advise them to read the papers and watch the media and pick up on the filth, because they know the plan. And once they know the plan, then this all reinforces their ability to understand what's happening, and it also motivates them to do more righteousness. You follow me?
I see.
So as a conspiratologist, I want to know what's happening. We watch the movies, we see the videos, we read the newspapers, and we can just read it so much easier and better than most people can. And this motivates us to continue the filth and the slime that the international Jews are perpetrating on the American people, and all peoples of the world, in fact, is an enormous crime. As far as the size of the crime, I think we see these Maury Povich shows and we see these programs of what's that other slime bag that puts out that Jerry
Springer?
What?
Springer?
Yeah, Jerry Springer.
Oh, geez.
And they bring white trash in there and display it just every ounce of time they can. And when you think of the ability, here's 450 generations of white young girls who in one generation, in only a few years, the media has programmed them to completely and totally sell out their race, their heritage, their family, their morality. They sell out everything on the planet Earth that is of worth, social worth. And they do it in such a quick and easy way, and then they display them on the Jerry Springer Show and on Maury Povich and Oprah and the rest of these creeps. And it's amazing the power of the media. Mm-hmm. The corrupting power is absolutely incredible. And this is why we have to stay on top of it and use it against them, because our truth is so many times more powerful than their lies, if our people would only take the enthusiasm and the courage to use the truth in a positive manner.
Well, I agree with you. As it says, the truth shall set you free, and it will break that bondage. You know, a lot of people, when they're in Judeo-Christian churches and they hear these prostitutes today that pawn themselves off as preachers and watchmen.
Right.
You sit in these churches, and I've done it, and you hear them preach that word about setting you free, and I would sit there and I would go, free from what? I don't have anybody hounding me. This church isn't under any persecution. And I would read the Bible, and it would say that the church would be persecuted.
Sure.
If you teach the truth, the world would hate you. And I would sit, and I was in 9 different denominations as a young man trying to find the one that would teach me the truth. And I would sit there and I would just, this is garbage. There's something missing here, until I came to this identity truth. Then all of a sudden it made sense. And I also found out what they meant by persecution, because definitely the world hates you if you're going to tell the truth.
That's right.
Just a minute here. We're going to go to a break, Richard. So why don't you hang on to what you were going to say, and we'll let Andy take us to a short break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, I've got some real good stuff for us when we come back.
All right, excellent.
Thank you.
I brought you out of the nation.
I've not forsaken you. Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design. And now, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight's program is entitled Jewish Fables. And my guest tonight is Richard Masker, who is the National Director of International Conspiratological Association. And we're talking about how to deprogram our people. At the top of the program, I read some scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and from Titus chapter 1. Just as a note to you, the Greek word that we get the word fable, as used in those passages, is mythos, which is an invention or a falsehood, and it is also the word that we get our present English word myth from. So they were referring to Jewish fables, which are inventions and falsehoods, and believe me, they are masters at it. Richard, welcome back to the program, and let's pick up where we left off.
Okay, Dan, I'd like to take some time here, just momentarily, to talk about the issue that we really were talking about in the program.
Okay.
And that was deprogramming.
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize to your listeners that it's very, very important to be assertive. Have the courage to stand up and speak out regardless of the consequences. And secondly, it's very, very important to have a cause and effect relationship so that people can identify with what you're trying to get across. If you just come up and start bad-mouthing blacks or Jews or doing the typical thing that most people do, you will lose credibility very quickly, and you will become virtually worthless as far as a good political deprogrammer. So I thought maybe your listening audience would like to know the process that I use in deprogramming police departments.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you at the first of the program, you told them to get a pencil and start writing down. I don't know, are you going to have this taped and made available to your listeners?
Yes, at this point, I'll go into that. This is being taped, and I'll get a master of it. And if somebody would like a copy, they can write to By Yahweh's Design, P.O. Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. And yes, it would be available, and there's also some websites where this is archived where people can listen to it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Certainly.
And I'll get into a little brief rundown of my general technique as far as deprogramming police and the general public, because like I said, when you talk to somebody, you must have a program. You must have a system, and you need to stick with that system. If it works for you, then make sure you use it and don't ramble all over the place. We have used this kind of a system many times before, and it definitely does work.
Okay.
I'm getting a feedback. I don't know if... Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, good. All right. The important thing to remember is that as far as what we use in the association, we let the people know that they are being criminalized. They are the product or the victims of a crime. And that pricks their consciousness and their curiosity, and they say, well, who are the criminals and how am I being victimized? And that opens the door to a wonderful dialogue that you can utilize to the best of your ability. Now, when I go before a police department or talking to federal agents or whoever I'm talking with, sharing the message, if you will,
mm-hmm.
I have what's called an international crime report. If you go down to your local sheriff's department or a local police department, they will have a crime report. And they have to make that out every time that they get involved in some kind of criminal action. So what I do is I present a typed out crime report to the department that I'm going to be talking to. And the crime report kind of goes along like this. First of all, the crime classification. What are we talking about here? What kind of crime are we dealing with here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about premeditated genocide or murder. And in police rankings of crime, that's number one. Murder is the top-notch criminal act.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the location and the time of the crime. Well, generally, we look at the international conspiracy as between 1740 and the present. That was when they really got going with communism under the Rothschilds and started persecuting and prosecuting nations without candor.
Mm-hmm.
Three, the scope and the magnitude of the crime. Well, I'm going to put down here the international race of psychopathic killers and pathological liars. That's the scope of the type of criminals that we're dealing with, big time. Four, primary perpetrators of the crime, the international Jews, period. Five, the accomplices to the crime, the Shabbos Goyim Gentiles. Remember we talked about there's only Jews and their enemies are all non-Jews, the stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the accomplices to the crime are the Shabbos or the handymen of the Jews. The victims of the crime, police are going to ask you that, who are the victims here? Well, the victims of the crime is universal humanity, non-Jews. Now, it's interesting, when we look at the Holocaust, that the Jews will sacrifice their own people to validate their claims in regards to what they're doing. So sometimes they'll have to sacrifice a few Jews to get the point across of how innocent they really are. Number seven is the evidences of the crime. Well, in conspiratology, world history really comes very heavily down on the international Jewish Zionist community. The protocols are typical of what they are capable of doing, but one thing that really slams the door on them is their own confessions and their own writings to their own people. And that's evidences, and you can just turn on your evening's television and you've got all the evidences that you need. I might add that I've never been pulled into a court of law to prove my accusations. They do not want this to be public record, and they're not going to challenge you in any way, shape, or form. And Pastor Dan, I want to tell you how appreciative I am of having you on this program, because conspiratologists are probably the most shut out and censored and silent group of criminal investigators known to humanity.
I can imagine that's true.
Now, the motive for the crime, this is interesting, I want your folks to listen to this very carefully. The motive for the crime is racial ascendancy for world control and domination.
Mm-hmm.
Kill and silence all opposition for racial ascendancy. While they are developing their race to the highest genetic ability, they want to totally mongrelize and silence and distort yours. So that's very important. The next one is an important number nine, is the weapons of choice. Well, we have deception and lies and blackmail and extortion and a whole area of ways that criminals act. I have categorized the method of this particular conspiracy, the weapon of it, is classified as ancient, Asiatic, subversive, gradualistic warfare. It couldn't be more easy. You know what gradualism means? A little here and a little there until your objectives are finally accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It's very subversive. It is Asiatic in nature. Because you go back in history and you look at Sun Tzu and his writings on how to subvert nations and overthrow them. So the weapons of choice are very simple. It's an Asiatic, ancient, subversive, gradualistic warfare system. Now, the opportunity, the cops are always going to ask you about the opportunity for the crime. And in a way, I have to say it's the Hegelian method, you know, create the problem and then solve the problem through your own subversive means by propagandizing the populace.
Like the war on drugs.
That's right. That's you've got it. You've
yeah.
Got it.
What a joke. Hey,
yep.
Interesting. Let me interject something here real quick.
Sure.
As you're talking about the ancient Asiatic gradual warfare, it was kind of interesting when I was doing a word study one day. You know, the Savior, when he was here, he said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, who are the ancestors of the current Jews themselves."
Yes.
He said, "Beware the leaven." So I, one day, for just out of the blue, I picked up my exhaustive dictionary, which is about 5 inches thick, and I opened a page and I thought I'd look up the word leaven. And you know, the very first definition, of course, is what everybody expects, talking about yeast and how it gets in there and it affects a lump of dough.
Right.
the second definition that almost nobody talks about, it says anything that causes small, almost imperceptible changes in a process. And I thought, if that isn't talking about a Jew, nothing is. They get in there and they tear away at the foundation piece by piece by piece.
Right. Exactly. Very good analogy. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Get right on through our process here to number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of my favorites, and I think your listening audience will enjoy this. It's called the method of operation. The cops are always looking for the M.O., right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the M.O. is M-U-R-D-E-R. Isn't that what we call the crime to begin with?
Yeah.
Now, M stands for media control or propaganda. U stands for unity destruction or diversity. R stands for racial destruction or kill the best first. D stands for democratization, and that's political control and corruption. And boy, if that doesn't have Clinton written all over it, I don't know what does. E stands for economic control. And, you know, when they put the money up, they finance their own conspiracy, and you have to pay the interest on it.
Yep.
And the last one is religion. Now, in conspiratology, we don't like to talk about religion very much because we don't like to talk about things that have a tendency to separate our own ideologies or divide us. We need to be a united people.
Absolutely.
And so when we talk about religion and conspiratology, we talk basically about how religion has been used by the Jews to divide and conquer and to despoil our people. So it's used as a warfare element rather than religion as a general rule. Now, the criminal organization, the cops are going to ask you, well, is there an organization? Is there an administrative structure here? Well, we all know that to be the New World Order. And the New World Order is made up of a pyramid block of the World Jewish Congress, the Club of Rome, the Freemasons, the CFR, the Bilderbergers. And then we have the mechanical or the outward aspects of it called NATO and the United Nations, the ADL, the Mossad, the FBI, etc. So most people, if they don't know the structure of the system, it's very easy to find out, and that's what conspiratologists basically deal with. So the last one on the list of the International Crime Report that we're trying to report to the police department is the Justice or Solution to the Crime. And at this particular point in time, I'm more and more coming to the realization that the only solution to this is the awakening of the Gentile masses and with the resulting bloody revolution. At this time, I don't see any alternatives unless, of course, there's going to be some type of religious intervention, which I'm not into because we don't talk about religion in that sense in conspiratology. We are simply criminal researchers. Now, I've laid it all out. Do we have any comments out there?
Well, I'll tell you, that's excellent. It's interesting that you mentioned the awakening as a solution. I believe that's going on right now.
That is.
I got a letter from a gentleman that I've known for some time now who's the webmaster of I Love White Folks website.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he had an article, Look on the Bright Side, or 8 Reasons Why You Should Be Optimistic. And, instead of reading this, it's about a 3.5-page letter, but I'll just hit the highlights of the 8 items. And he said, number 1, we have truth on our side. Hallelujah. Number 2, people are beginning to wake up. And this one I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. It's sad in a way. He had a very liberal woman that was pushing the enemy's agenda all her life until her brother was confronted by a group of black men in his driveway at gunpoint, was forced to go into his house where he had the privilege of standing there again at gunpoint and watch while these guys took turns with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, she is no longer a liberal and has now all of a sudden realized that she's been fed a pack of lies all these years. Number three, all of the founding fathers agree with us. Number four, the white race has overcome great obstacles before. Number five, the negative impact of diversity is becoming extremely hard to ignore. David Duke's No Fear organization is creating much greater visibility and awareness for race crimes against white folks. This is critical for waking people up. Number seven, we have very talented, creative, and determined people working for our race, your group, for example. And you care, number eight, you care about what is going to happen to our race. So I thought that was an excellent one, but I thought it was a sort of an example of a lot of things I'm getting here lately that, like you said, I believe even our brain-dead sheep out there are starting to realize we got something very terribly wrong here.
In what way are you specifically talking about?
As far as what's wrong, well, it's the case here. You can't, I mean, the Jewish media would have you believe that diversity is a strength, and yet empirical evidence is going to tell you that nobody in their right mind would take a midnight stroll down through the center of any major city of this country.
Oh, I get your point. Yes, right.
See what I'm saying? We've got, hey, oh, I just thought of something. Before we get too much further, do you mind giving out how folks could get a hold of you if they're interested in learning to be a conspiratologist?
You bet. That's one of the joys of, I might say that we have a lot of fun doing this. This is a very enthusiastic endeavor that we do. Teaching people is always a wonderful thing when you have the truth on your side, and being a conspiratologist is extremely rewarding. It's a wonderful thing to go into a police department and look at the look on these guys' face when you've got 130 cops. I've been in an audience of 130 people, police officers and detectives, and to see the look on their faces when you completely and totally turn them around and they show how they've been deceived by their own leaders, who have been sucking up to the ADL and the other Zionist and liberal leftist organizations. So you can imagine the gratification and the joy that a conspiratologist can experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, our organization is called the International Conspiratological Association, or the ICA, and we are at P.O. Box 5232, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And that's C-O-E-U-R, small d hyphen, capital A-L-E-N-E, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83814, the USA. And we also have a website at Conspiratology, C-O-N-S-P-I-R-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, at hotmail.com. That's conspiratology at hotmail.com. And we have a lot of teaching aids and things that will help you to understand the magnitude of the problem and how to get going on deprogramming your local community. I'm in the process right now of writing a 4-page pamphlet called Police Notice. And this is going to be handed out at militia meetings and other patriot organizational meetings to the police specifically to show how they are in violation of their police oath of service. Mm-hmm. And it's chock full of all kinds of good things. It makes cops sit back and start taking a very close look at their responsibility to the community that they are being paid to protect and to serve. Okay?
Absolutely. Well, a good friend of mine whose uncle was a police officer recently resigned in disgust because of the corruption where he was an officer.
Right.
It was just beyond belief. He couldn't
Right.
deal with it anymore. Another friend of mine has a relative that's an IRS agent, and basically he quit recently with stating that he could not do to people what these people wanted him to do.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting, I once went to an IRS agent, or not an agent, but I went to an IRS office on the East Coast. I had a little something to go over with a gentleman there. And I walked in, and the entire building was full of minorities and foreigners.
And the Jews were the supervisors in every department.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it struck me as I walked in, my first thought was, why do I not see my people here? And then I realized my people have a conscience.
That's right.
And
you're right on target.
Excuse me?
You are right on target. That's exactly correct.
Right. They weed our people out, and they fill that vacuum with everything else out there, because they have no, the people that they replace our people with have no tie to our culture, our heritage, our language, our race, and so they will do whatever their master, the Jew, tells them to do,
right,
which is ram this New World Order BS down our throats. And too many times, as you said, there's men and women in uniform who have sworn to uphold our organic documents, and they are being led into the position of being traitors to that oath.
That's right.
And that's a serious thing.
That's called lack of loyalty.
Yeah.
They don't want people with white loyalty in those in government positions. They want stooges that they can control.
Well, that's like the case in Connecticut where the guy applied to be an officer and he was turned down because his IQ was too high. He filed a major lawsuit. I don't know if you remember reading about that about a year ago.
No.
Yeah, there was a gentleman in Connecticut. He went to and applied to become a police officer. He was turned down because, and he was told outright, your IQ is too high. And I'm thinking, why would we not want high IQs in people that walk around with guns in our society freely and administer our laws? Of any, you know, think of it. It's insane.
Well, it's not insane if you're looking at it from the Jewish, you know, subversive point of view. You have to say, why are the Jews continually destroying our educational system? Well, they don't want intellectuals around to be able to understand what they're doing. In the Spokane area a few years ago, the ABC news agency came in with $3 million and contributed to a reading program for young students. Then if you go and look at the program, you'll find that the reading program was specifically designed to get the students to read only up to a certain level. And that certain level was newspaper. In other words, they could barely read a newspaper. And you say, well, if this is a communist, subversive, Jewish-controlled network, why would they be endorsing and paying for students to learn how to read? Well, they have to be able to read the propaganda.
Absolutely.
You don't want people running around that have the ability to think for themselves. So you have to have a certain amount of programmed intelligence in these people to so they can function for you. And this is a very interesting subject, but it's kind of off of what we're talking about tonight. While we're talking about reading, though, I would like to bring to your listeners' attention a book called My Awakening by David Duke. This is a hardback. It's a new book, came out in December. It's already in its second printing, and it is selling like gangbusters. And there's also a book, again, I want to report, My Awakening by David Duke. And the second book, which is very important for scholars who really want to get down dirty with what's happening with this conspiracy, if there's any law enforcement people out there, they might want to look at The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed. The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed. And I think that may still be available through www.natall.com. It's a hard book to find, but if you do your research, you can find it. So My Awakening by David Duke and The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed. Those are two essential beginner's books on the conspiracy.
Well, interestingly enough, I had David on the program about a month and a half ago talking about his book. And you're right. That is probably one of the best books I have read. I've sold personally about 15 of them. And we keep a couple here to make available to folks if they need a copy for $25 post-paid.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. That if there's one book you can read today to wake people up, it's written very intelligently and with tons and tons of references, that's the book.
Well, some of your audience may ask, well, what can I do in my local community? What effect can I do? What is a good opportunity for me? Well, let me give you an example of the things that I do. So this will be an example to you that maybe you can use these ideas.
Okay, got about a minute, Richard.
What?
You got about a minute and a half.
Okay. I'm the national director for the ICA. I'm also the Idaho chapter for No Fear, David Duke's No Fear organization.
Excellent.
I'm running for state representative in District 4 on the Reform Party ticket. These are the kind of things that you need to do, and I give lectures and I do deprogramming, so your audience will know the kind of things that's important to get out there and get busy.
Well, I certainly salute you for what you're doing, and I'm tickled to death that you came on the program and shared all this with us. Again, I'd read your stuff. I thought it was excellent, and I had no idea that you were into it to this level. This is excellent news.
Well, thank you very much.
So,
I appreciate you being
on
the program.
We're out of time, and Richard, we'll have you back on sometime in the future for an update. And we just, again, we salute you for what you're doing, and we pray Yahweh be with you and all those who take up the torch of conspiratology, and best wishes to you.
Well, thank you so very much.
Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, Jewish Fables and Yahweh Willing. We'll be back next Friday. Take care. Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.